Welcome to Lounge, Lip, Learn, Real Talk with Black Therapists. I'm Lissandra.
And I'm Shelby.
Welcome to the lounge. Welcome to Lounge, Lift, Learn, Real Talk with Black Therapists, where we have conversations that uplift, inspire, and empower. I'm Lissandra.
And I'm Shelby.
Welcome to the lounge.
Woo!
It's been a minute.
It's been a good minute.
How are you?
I'm okay.
You okay?
I'm excited to talk about this topic, but it's also a heavy topic in some ways for me.
It can be heavy. It can be light.
So, you ready?
I'm ready. Hey, hold on. Before we go into the topic, we need to tell our guests something. If you have subscribed to us on iHeart, Amazon Music and Audible, podcasts for Apple, and iHeartRadio, you can go subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you can be looking at us versus listening. So run on over there. Go ahead, Shelby.
I mean, did you even ask the people if they're excited to see our faces? Mm-hmm. The reality is we are women who hold our expressions all over our faces with our bodies. So we're just excited to invite you guys in and see how we truly live our lives and live this podcast. So we're ready to jump in.
Welcome to the lounge.
Welcome to the lounge. So today we're talking hair.
What kind of hair?
All type of hair, but black hair. We're talking black women hair, what we're dealing with on a daily basis, all of those good things and bad things and rough things and stigmas, all the pieces.
I mean, Shelby, why is our hair a whole entire episode?
Because it's complicated in so many ways. Mm. It's complicated. And I don't think other races might understand the complications of it or experience the conversations that we have to have with others or the rules at work we have to abide by sometimes, mm-hmm. just internal challenges as well. So we need to talk about it.
All right.
We need to inform the masses. So why don't we, I don't know if you're up for this, but why don't we talk about our personal journeys first so people know where we stand on these things, and then we can go from there and break it down.
Okay. I guess mine is pretty typical. I mean, listeners will let us know if this is not typical, but I started off, you know, I'm a whole generation ahead of you.
Old.
You know, the press and comb, the press and curls is how we grew up. Did you ever get a press and curl?
I mean, don't make me feel like a baby. I haven't.
Oh.
I've never felt the hot comb on me. None of that.
Well, I'm going to tell you. And I didn't know, with your mom being a white mom, I don't know if she pressed your hair. So it was a sincere, really
sincere question. We'll get to my story and people will get it. But tell me about the memories. Make me feel it.
Listen, no black chick who had a press and curl walked away until mom burned the neck. Okay, I'm done now. They were never done. As soon as they burned you, you were done. And you couldn't sweat your hair out. There was no running around. It's probably why we can't swim. Because who?
Well, I was going to ask, in the summertime, how does that work for little black girls whose mamas spent, I don't know, possibly hours, mm-hmm. doing your hair? Mm-hmm. How do you play in it's 90 degrees out? How do you swim? How do you do all the things, water balloon fights? How do you do it? How do you engage?
If you're a boy, you have a good time. If you're a girl, you hear things like, running around here looking like Who Shot John? You better not sweat their hair out. Wait,
Who Shot John or Who Shot John and why?
Who All Shot that? John and why? Why did you come in here looking like
statements?
Who Shot John and why? But they would just tell you, don't run around here looking like Who Shot John. Whoever John is. And then in my early childhood, my hair was relaxed. Mm-hmm. I could have been like 9-ish, but I don't know. But mom would also braid it, put the beads in, and that was nice because it's slinging and crackling. That was fun as a kid.
So question, why did you get your hair relaxed? If we're sitting here and pressing it, it's doing all the things, why relaxed?
Because it would sweat out. Like, you really could not live life because the hair, when they press it, that heat straightens it. Humidity, anything,
so
it will make it
right
go
back
to its natural state.
So mom decided this was the age that too much was going on.
Probably.
We needed to figure this out. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I could have been 9-ish, but I'm not really, like, I wouldn't put money on it, but I think it was around 9-ish. Mm-hmm. I remember going to her beautician, and so she would, you know, relax your hair. And then once you get a relaxer, that's every 6 weeks. But anyway, And then I went natural, meaning I went relaxer free in about 2018. I was good grown. And you know who helped me do that?
Who?
Your generation. Yes, I did. Your generation. Because they were walking around here just free. And I was like, I want to do that. But yeah. And then my sister lock journey started in 2023.
Okay.
How about you?
My journey's different. In some ways, because I am black, white, biracial. So my white mother, it's interesting about her. She had to learn how to do like pressing my hair in certain ways. She had to learn to braid from like my older black cousins. So that was a thing. But for the most part, I walked around with two like Afro puffs, right, as a little one. And my dad and mom took me to go get my hair relaxed when I was 4 years old. I was four because they didn't know what to do. Mm. So, story time. Mm. I'm gonna bring you guys in and tell you a little bit about how my grandmother made a big mistake when I was a toddler, actually, or 4 years old. They relaxed my hair, they straightened it. I was looking really good, and grandma let me play in the sandbox. White grandmother let me play in the sandbox, and she put me in the bath to wash my hair out after it was straight. And it puffed up, and it was an afro, and I think my parents lost it, right? And she just didn't know, as a white woman who doesn't have to deal with that. It's just mm-hmm. like, oh, then just straighten it again. But it's like, I spent money at the shop to get that done. Yeah. So part of my journey is getting a relaxer when I was very young. When I was, I think, 6 years old, he burnt off the top of my hair because the relaxer stayed on too strong. Yes, and it was too long on there, and it was burning. So that sucked. My dad almost fought this black gay man in the shop, and it was really hard to watch. But at the end of the day...
I want to see that so bad.
You know, if you know my dad, you know how that goes down. That was my journey all the way, perms and everything, relaxers, all the way until I was 18. Mm-hmm. Went off to college, decided to go natural. And then that little ugly natural phase, and we are going to talk more about that, happened until more recently. So right now I have my hair straight because I think we can do whatever we want with our hair at this point. Mm-hmm. I can be natural, I can be straight, I can braid it up, do all of those things, but I feel really good about it for the most part.
Wow. I'm sorry. Listen, listeners, who can picture it? I wanted to see the look on grandma's face when her hair did the snapback. That who, for the love of God, I want to see that so bad. I just want to see it. And then the parent who just spent all the money. Like I want to be able to have a camera on everybody's face at one time. Like Brady Bunch, you know, intro.
She knew she was in trouble. She said, Shelby, my heart dropped because what have I done? That's what she told me. Like, what have I done? And I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't know. You should have asked first. And we'll get into that too. Like, should we be asking permission for parents to touch our children's hair? I know we've seen the stories in the school system.
There's a lot. But before we go future, let's go history.
Let's do it.
So in the historical context, when you think about black people, mm-hmm. So there's the relaxers. And why? Why does our hair have to be straightened? Like, that's just the first part. Like, why is that even a thing? Because the way my hair naturally grows out of my hair is not straight, right? And right. so to be accepted professionally, that hair had to look a certain way to be considered kempt.
Because why? Is that referring to the way white folks and how their hair sometimes can be straightened or come out naturally straight? Is that the standard of beauty? Is that where you think that comes from?
I think that's certainly the standard of beauty that pre-existed. I think it's changing. Because had you asked me 10 years ago, I would not. I never thought I would leave the creamy crack.
Wait, do our listeners know what creamy crack is? I mean...
Depends. Some will, some won't. Explain it.
Creamy crack is just the relaxer, right, people? Like, that is the relaxer. That's when we have naturally curly hair. You put this white stuff in your hair, and it makes it straight. And we call it crack because it's very, like, addicting to keep getting it done in some ways.
Is it addicting, or is it just required?
I mean, a crack addict would probably say both.
It's I think of it like that.
It's a requirement to keep it going.
I stand you in real life. In real life, I don't like you.
But am I? I mean, yes, we felt like we needed it. It was a requirement. It wasn't actually a requirement.
It was a requirement. Yeah. So if you get your hair relaxed, you have to get it relaxed every 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Or you will actually experience damage and breakage on your hair. And so there are a lot of people that try to stretch it. And that's not good.
No.
But in addition to relaxers, our people had Jerry curls. I never did.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
Sometimes with my natural curl pattern, I put in my leave-in conditioner and I do my Denman brush. And I look like a Jerry curl.
You do.
A walking Jerry
you
curl.
Do.
And it's very...
cute.
Yeah, it's cute until your dad says, girl, you look like that man off of Coming to America. And it's really embarrassing. That's a thing. But I can't control my hair, people. God gave me this. So if it comes out looking Jerry Curlish, let's do it.
That's hilarious. And you don't leave the print on the couch.
True.
Like in Coming to America. So the Jerry Curls, grease. And you know what?
Hmm.
So historically, Jerry Curls, grease, bonnets, scarves. I want us to tap into that a little bit.
Okay.
So when we, like, I know other cultures that are not black may not understand the need for grease. And so
correct.
Our hair dries. It does not become more oily. It becomes more dry.
Right.
And so the grease on our scalp helps to return moisture back to our hair. So we wash and condition. We need the moisture
so
and different things like
on
that.
On the flip side of this, being half white and having these white friends, you might have seen it too. If they don't wash their hair on a daily, sometimes every other day basis, they will get really oily and greasy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's like, well, why would you put grease in your hair? But I love the way you broke that down.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Not to mention... we can't really wash our hair every day.
Oh, gosh.
And yeah. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about why we can't do that. Is it dirty when they don't wash their hair once a week or whatever that looks like? And for the reality is, black women have different scalps.
Yeah.
We have different hair textures.
Yeah.
Some can do it once a week. Some can do it every other week.
Yeah, but daily would have our hair, because it would dry out.
Daily would be way too much.
It's too much.
Absolutely.
And so that leads naturally into the bonnets and the scarves. Like, why are we wearing mm-hmm. that? Clearly, we're going to disagree in an aspect, and I'm going to say it. However,
it.
I'm going to. But the bonnet and the scarves are protectants.
Mm-hmm.
Scarves is, I can even break that out into two different categories. I can break that. Because listen,
they're,
I feel like
they're protectants.
They're protectives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're
yeah.
protective of your hair.
Okay.
But with the scarf, it could also be an accessory.
Fair.
So
bonnets can't be accessories.
Bonnets are for the bed.
Can we tell the audience a little bit?
Bonnets are for the bed.
Lissandra and I disagree on parts of these things because she judges people who wear bonnets outside of the bedroom. So if somebody's walking in the grocery store and has a bonnet on, she's like, oh, you're messy, blah, 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 blah. And for me, mind your business. That's mm-mm. all.
That is my business. You out here looking like, who shot John? You understand what I'm saying? Listen, listeners. My listeners. Shelby's listeners may not care. Take the bonnet off.
Honey, take care of yourself.
Right.
That's
take the bonnet off.
Take care of yourself. If you need to run to the grocery store with your bonnet on, do so. And don't mind the haters. Don't mind people's other people's opinions. Do what makes you comfortable.
A bonnet is
an
accessory.
It
is for the protection of your hair when you go to school.
I don't necessarily see it as an accessory, but if I want to run to the store with the bonnet, everybody needs to mind theirs. That's all. I'm not going to do it. Let me just be clear. Shelby doesn't do it, but like, Look, I'm going to fight for the women who want to do whatever they want to do with their hair. Stop policing black women's hair. Okay. Cool.
And my full auntiness, do not. In my full auntiness, you take that bonnet off when you go outside.
That's fine. Well, generations can clash, and that's okay.
So,
moving forward,
what's next on our list? So, types of hair, Shelby. What's good hair and bad hair?
Oh, I hate that.
I hate it so much.
I hate the phrases good hair and bad hair because it implies that God bless some a little bit more than others
mm-hmm.
in those ways, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just not, I don't believe in that. So, I think in the black community,
mm-hmm.
when we say good hair, we're referring to a looser curl pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree with it. Mm-hmm. People would probably say I have good hair. But then again, I have sisters with looser curl patterns than I, and they would say I don't have the good hair in the family. Mm-hmm. So everything is relative, and right. I think that's important to note too. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the good, bad argument?
I think you're right on. I think it's a horrible thing to say, but we've come up with it. So if you had bad hair, they would say your hair is nappy, and oh, I see your kitchen and all the different things. But mm-hmm. at the end mm-hmm. of the day, the hair grows, first of all, in the perimeter of your hair, you generally will have at least 2, but maybe 3 and even 4 different types of curl patterns in your hair, just Ooh. First of all.
Are those facts or are those experiences?
Those are facts.
That's
I've,
awesome.
I've learned that from the hairstylist. That is not my fact. I've learned that.
Okay.
Most cosmetologists, mm-hmm. is that the right word? I think that's the right word for the people that do hair. Because, you know, it changes a lot.
I'm just going to call
them. They go to cosmetology school. But
sure.
Whatever. Y'all know I mess up
most
a
hairdressers.
Phrase.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, they will tell you that, like, for example, the hair around my perimeter is more fine.
Mm-hmm.
There is. Let me tell you. Is this. Shelby.
Why are you dancing?
Because I'm trying not to get ahead of us, but
okay.
also trying to, like...
Just go. Let it flow.
Just, right? But do you know people that will have the audacity to reach out and touch your hair will then say, oh, it's soft.
Like, what was the
expectation? Like, what did you think it was gonna... And I think because they look at the curl pattern, there's an assumption that the hair is gonna be rough.
First of all, that's utterly disrespectful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we just sit real quick on the piece of I have access to your hair mm-hmm. and access to your body in all mm-hmm. the ways that I want to? I can't tell you how many times white coworkers have reached out and touched my hair.
Mm.
You and I shared a coworker who
we
did,
did
that. And you will, I'm going to slap them on their wrist a little bit, sometimes a little bit more than that.
Or punch
but,
them in the face.
Sorry,
you want to.
Yeah.
You want.
You do want to punch him in the face because it's like you're violating my space and my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, did you choose to ask? How many times do you go up to your white counterparts and do that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to touch your hair, actually, my white counterparts. So I don't get why we have to give you access.
I don't have to give you access.
Right,
and I think
right.
it's utterly disrespectful. I think, this is me, I equate it to reaching out and touching someone's boob. Like, oh, your boob is bigger, so let me touch it. Or, oh, your
wow.
boob is smaller,
yeah.
so let me touch. Like, don't touch me. Just don't walk up and don't ask. Because I don't even walk up and ask people, ooh, can I touch your boob? Like, it. Don't ask.
To clarify, is it okay that people ask you about your hair?
Sure.
I mean, not asking to touch, right? Because
right.
that's disrespectful. But
right.
like, curious, how do you deal with curiosity from others about black hair?
I guess I'm fine with curiosity. Like,
okay.
I don't understand everything about everybody's anything. So I don't have an issue with curiosity as
mm-hmm.
much as I have an issue with the outright disrespect of the boundary
sure.
of reaching out and touching me.
That's fair. That's
so
fair.
We'll get back there. We'll get back there because I actually don't want to miss this. So... I mentioned this earlier, and we just kind of jumped over it. Like, I said I went natural, and meaning released my relaxer. But there's a lot of hate and stigma within and outside of our community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's judgment. Like, oh, you got locks? I could never. Or
yeah.
you're natural? I could never. Or, ugh, you wear wigs? Like, there's so much. How do your hair grow so fast? Like, it's within and outside of the community. And it's one of those top answers of why this is such an important episode, because we want to expose and help people become aware
Yeah.
all the things. But continue.
Absolutely. I do want to share an experience I had with an older generation in my personal family where I was going to, and I have to like distinguish between like my black and white side. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't have to think about that. But it's like when I go and hang out with the black side of my family, most people don't have much to say about hair unless it looks good. Because, you know, black women are very good at complimenting each other, too,
yeah.
on the flip side of
Absolutely.
That. However, I had my hair like up in like a pineapple type of thing, right? And it was curly. And my like 75-year-old black auntie, she told me, ooh, your hair is so nappy. She mm-hmm. said, well, you need to do something with it. And I was like, but this is what my black friends told me I could do with my hair, right? Pretty. And it was pretty. And my dad would never have said that to me, but she did. So I wonder if part of this is a generational thing where Absolutely. It's like as we shift in time, mm-hmm. different hairstyles are more accepted. Mm-hmm. And how do we mind our own business?
Well, because if you think about it, what I heard you say was I walked into a space feeling fully confident.
Absolutely.
Fully in my cute. Like, ooh, my black cousins told me I can throw my hair up in a mm-hmm. pineapple and that's going to be cute. And I walked into a room and my confidence was hit.
Yes.
And it was shaken. And so when we talk about our hair, and one of the reasons we thought this was an important episode is because anytime you walk into a room and your hair is the judgment, mm-hmm. that attacks my self-esteem. That attacks my confidence. Right. So I should be able to walk in a room and show up however I want to show up, unless it's in a bonnet. Because that's for bed.
Okay, we get it.
Just thought I'd throw that, back around. Nice little bow. But the confidence of being able to come in with it curly, braided, mm-hmm. locked, bald, mm-hmm. like whatever and however you want to wear your hair.
Right. So, Lissandra, it was funny. Earlier, just a few moments ago, you were telling your story and you gave millennials credit for mm-hmm. why you went natural and supporting you in that. But I thinking you were going to give me some credit because I remember sitting with you when you thought you were not looking good or you were hideous or I don't remember the words you looked. And I remember encouraging you and I thought you were going to talk about that. Can you give me some credit here a little bit?
Okay.
Tell the people.
Okay, listeners, listen. How do you just ask for your own pat on the back? Okay, Shelby, that's the truth. That is really the truth. When I transitioned natural, mm-hmm. Shelby and I were still working together.
Right.
And that was, you know what? This is really important. I'm glad you brought this up. So I'm going to look at you all because this is actually really important. Mm-hmm. The decision to go natural, I am a confident woman. My self-esteem is very healthy. But when I cut that relaxer out of my hair, I kept it in braids. And then the day came where it was like, take the braids out. And I had to learn to love myself in
yes.
a way that I didn't know I did not. And it was hard. And I had to be very vulnerable. I have a mm-hmm. husband who's a jokester. And I said, here's what I need. I need for you not to joke right now. Ooh. I said, because my confidence is really low because I hadn't seen me. Now, that's crazy. What white child has never seen themselves the way God made them. But my hair had been either pressed, straightened,
manipulated
in some manner away from its natural state to a place that I looked in the mirror and said, ooh, okay. Because I know it's important. Sorry, y'all, I'm tapping the mic. Because I know it's important mm-hmm. that I have to love me. Because I have to model this for our clients. I have to model this for our kids right. and on and on and on.
What I appreciate about your vulnerability in this moment, I thought you were going to get emotional, so I was ready to throw the tissues at you, right? But what I appreciate about her vulnerability in this moment is her telling her husband what she needed. Mm-hmm. Because it isn't easy, that natural hair journey, or just hair in general, mm-hmm. and to be able to say to your support group, or even people who aren't the most supportive, this is my boundary. This is how I want you to show up for me. Mm-hmm. That's you showing up for yourself at the mm-hmm. end of the day. That's mm-hmm. you advocating for yourself. And I'm glad you did that. I don't know if I realized the depth of your story in that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, but right. you were very integral because you were like, Lissandra, that's you. Wear your hair. And I was like, it looks weird. And it looks
yeah.
this. And what if I don't do this right? And you were so encouraging. So I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just to add another layer to this, as therapists, mm-hmm. we are taking care of people. We're supporting people in our room. Now people have to look at me and they have to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm teaching them vulnerabilities. Now I have to show up in this way. And
yes.
that's a whole nother cup of tea that we can discuss another time.
Absolutely.
But that's huge.
So Shelby, you were questioning about helping as a parent, helping your child.
Mm.
So, and their love of their hair. So if you're biracial and then you married a black man, mm-hmm. so your children are biracial. That's not a thing.
My children are my children. Go ahead.
They're not bye-bye. If you're a biracial, they're not bye-bye, right?
Bye-bye, that Lissandra.
Was,
bye-bye,
Lissandra. I thought that was funny. This is why I'm not a comedian. Okay.
Yeah, so my children could be considered mixed. They're not biracial, maybe multiracial, I don't know. But, I mean, I consider my kids black, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So my black children in they have three different hair textures. I don't know if you've seen my babies and what their curls look like.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching my little girl specifically to love on herself is hard because she's in the dance world, the competitive dance world.
Yeah.
So everybody has to have the same type of hairstyle, a bun, or and then we have to quickly braid it up or put it in a long pony. And we can't do the things in 3 minutes like the white girls can.
Right.
And so she's upset with her hair. She wants it straightened. But how do you straighten your hair in the summer when you're going to be at pool camp every day?
Absolutely.
So it has been a struggle, but it's something where, like, I kind of try to motivate her. Like, okay, well, we're going to get braids after the season because we put lots of gels and hairsprays and things like that. But we make it fun because how many, I mean, white girls, I guess, can definitely put color in their hair. But my little girl gets to do braids. Yeah. With different colors in her hair. And we get to keep hairstyles a little bit longer than the girls at school. And I don't have to always comb your hair out in this way anymore. So I do give her some incentive to, like, why our hair is still so beautiful.
Yeah.
And has its own strengths, if that makes sense.
It does. And you walked us right into our next thing. And so we're about to talk about the Crown Act. And I don't know if, like, you walked us so perfectly into that.
It works.
It does. Because... So if you don't know what the Crown Act is, I actually don't want to mess this up. I don't want to paraphrase it is what I mean.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read this word for word. The Crown Act, which stands for Creating a Respectful and Open World for Natural Hair, is a law, right?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Is a law that prohibits race-based hair discrimination, which is denial of employment and educational opportunities because of hair texture or protective hairstyles, including braids, locks, twists, or Bantu knots. It was created in 2019 by Dove and the Crown Coalition in partnership with then State Senator Holly J. Mitchell of California to ensure protection against discrimination based upon race-based hairstyles by extending statutory protection to hair texture and protective styles, such as the braids, locks, twists, and knots in the workplace and in public schools. And so when you talk about what your daughter had to go through, the amount of stories that came up, and they angered me, that came up. One of them, I shared so many with you, where a teacher cut a girl's braid out of her hair because it was making too much noise in school because the mom added the beads. I told you, as a child, I loved the beads.
I know.
We're kids.
So my hair is a distraction. That's the vibe. Another thing that we see a lot is, oh, well, braids or locks or certain hairstyles aren't allowed to participate in certain sports.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that it was such a distraction on the baseball field that you have to cut my locks or you have to do these things or take your braids out.
Yes.
Right?
Like that
you
young
guys
man.
Are real
the
interested.
The whole team came together to help this young man get the braids or locks out of his hair because they were going to forfeit. And so the team helped him take it out. But the outrage for me is, why did the parents and the people in the stands...
Who is advocating for our babies, for our children, for us?
Who? Because there should have been outrage. There's no way that should have been allowed to happen. Like, yay to the, I guess, like I understand that they were being supportive, right? But I wish the parents had
supportive
stormed
of what?
The
supportive
team
of the
members.
System?
Right. The team members were being supportive of their teammate. I get that, but because it's low-level thinking. But for me, I'm saying the parents, all the people in those stands, everybody should have came down there and fought against that.
I hear you, but you are a super well-informed woman and very empowered by this conversation. Most people aren't even aware to understand the politics behind our hair.
You're right.
By the way, audience, our hair is political, right? If we think about these things, the Crown Act that Lissandra just beautifully wrapped up for you guys, it's not a national act, right? It's actually based on different states. So people vote on our hair all the time. It's and political. Some people vote against allowing us to be ourselves. And they're like, yeah, go ahead and discriminate against the people who want to do whatever with their hair.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. Our hair is political, and this is why it's such a major topic today.
And it's dehumanizing. And yeah. it's a yeah. stripping of identity. Like, I cannot imagine what it felt like. Like, can you imagine you braiding your child's hair and sending her to school and somebody cutting her hair? Girl, I'd probably be in jail.
Fighting words.
I'd probably be in jail. So, but that also is professionally. So when I think mm-hmm. back to even when I first started where I work now, like there's always been the concern, especially when I was a brand new clinician, of I worked in a majority white area. And to be able to, I was very aware of what it looks like if my hair switches up too often. You know what I'm saying? The freedom yeah. to just come in with a new style every 2 weeks, because I'm getting my hair done every right. 2 weeks, but it needs to stay about the same so that people will accept it.
I understand. I mean, I understand that. The pressure yeah, yeah. to always like be consistent enough or to explain what's happening with your
mm-hmm,
hair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh,
I don't want to explain it.
That's, and, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we don't always want to have to talk about why we chose to change it, why we want to do what we want to do with our hair. I just wish everybody would jump off.
Yep. So we deal with the microaggressions at work where people are, again, asking to touch our hair or being told, well, blah, blah has curly hair and they don't mind if I touch their hair. Again, if Becky likes when you touch her boob, that has nothing to do with you touching
Absolutely.
My boob. Yes. Don't ask to touch my boob or my hair. Anyway, so those are aggressions. And it's draining.
Yeah.
And so when you get through dealing with that at the end of the day, like, don't ask me, how did your hair grow? How did they put your extension in? Like, I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And you don't know anything about this. And so having a conversation is one thing, but it's the insulting microaggressions.
So, but the question is, how do you address those microaggressions? Right? Because it's so hard to like want to stay professional, mm-hmm. but also like the inner frustrated human in me wants to pop out and correct a coworker or a supervisor or a client, right? Who makes an ignorant comment. I know you and I have probably very different versions of handling these microaggressions. Mm-hmm. Do you have thoughts on that? Or do you have words to the people about this advice?
I think I have a lot of patience. For the first time. I think I have a lot of patience for
I like that.
The explanation the first time. I run into an issue when you refuse to take it in. So I think I mentioned this last season when the person said to me, well, is that how you feel or is that how all black people feel?
Who said that?
Girl chat.
You better go report.
Listen.
You better report that.
Listen. So that's what I have. I don't have a problem the first time.
Okay. Okay.
So with the right attitude.
That's fair. I'm a little different in the sense that I'm very quick-witted, and if someone were to say something disrespectful to me about my hair, I often have a very curious question or a strong statement as to like why that was not okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. I know one time someone said to me, and we were like, I don't know, we were in Indiana somewhere where a bunch of just white folks lived, and they said, oh, that's an interesting hairstyle. And I said, oh, why is that so interesting? Right? And they're just like, I mean, I don't, they're stuttering over the words because they don't know why it's interesting. I said, it's probably interesting because you don't see a lot of it, but it's actually really normal in black communities to wear your hair like this because it's protective. But you know, like I can understand why you're not used to it, but I don't know if it's interesting. And they're like, oh, okay, moving on. And I'm like, yeah, move on. Go mm-hmm. ahead. And just give them permission to do so.
Shelby, I love the question. Like, I love, like, responding back to people with what they said. It throws them off every time.
Every time.
You know what I want us to touch on before we bounce out of here?
No. What is that?
Men and hair care. Because we focus solely on the women.
Oh, boy.
But these yeah. black men, yeah. honey, these
so,
black men.
Men are not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not excluded from this conversation because they get all the comments too. Mm-hmm. Whether you have a low cut, a fade, you have a locks or mm-hmm. whatever, braids, all the things. I think they can show up. Do men get perms too and relaxers? I'm pretty sure they can.
There are
yeah.
some.
So you can get that too. Look, however, I often get upset when men in particular police black women's hair. So that's like a whole different topic, but we probably should touch on that. And yet I found myself victim to that or being the perpetrator of that with my own husband, y'all. So don't judge. I was about to join you. My husband decided he wanted to do like a curly, well, I don't know, box top, Will Smith. I don't know what that, what is that called? Box top? Sure. It was curlier though, right? Because of his texture. And at first I was like, oh, okay, maybe. But the way his head is shaped and the way the hair kind of grew out. The way it just started growing, I started to feel some type of way about it. After talking to Lissandra, who tried to check me about it, and she did check me, rightfully so, I realized I was policing my husband's hair, even though he enjoyed it. But at the end of the day, it was about him not keeping up with the hair, right? You have to learn how to style it appropriately. You better keep up with the oil of it, the grease of it, and all that stuff. He wasn't keep up with it, so he needed to fade it again. I wanted to see my man with waves. That's what I wanted. And he went back to him because eventually he realized his wife was right. So I don't know. Go ahead. Say what you need to say.
I just can't believe it. And I did. I came to his defense because she was wrong for that. period. I was like, how are you going to police him? However, comma, I did tell Ty I wanted him to grow locks. I think he would look so cute. But he told me no. And he won't go bald. And, you know, I like a bald head.
Wait,
but
you didn't tell me this before. So you... Are you policing
him? I'm making requests.
Okay, so if your husband came in and said, I like your locks, but I'm requesting that you relax again.
You petty all your life. Okay. You can't throw it back at me.
But is that not something, is that different? Or is that just Lissandra
being on a pedestal? When you put it all in black and white, it's all completely not different.
You know I'm biracial like that.
I literally cannot. So, all right. I didn't think I was policing him by just telling what I like. Because you know what? Tyrone has a preference. He likes my hair. He likes my hair, first of all. He likes the locks.
That's fantastic.
We had a discussion about it before I locked my hair. However, if you would have asked him his preference, he will tell you he like it slick back in a ponytail. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a man thing. I don't know if he wanted to grab it.
I don't know if that's sexual, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know where that was going, but he like a slick back pony. And I, you know, hey, listen, that's my husband. I ain't gonna listen. How you like it? So you're
trying to say like preference is not the same as policing,
right? Because policing is telling you what you need to do and making you
I can vibe with that, actually.
Policing you, and there's a problem when you don't do it a certain way, but I can request it. I can say, ooh, I really like you. Like, you were a little mean to your husband.
Yeah. That's everybody's own opinion.
So I just, you know, at the end of the day, we don't want anybody to police anybody. In actuality, we want you to feel really, you know, good about yourself and however you choose to wear your hair, whether you choose to wear it in its natural state and that's free or locked, or if you choose to shave it off, if you choose to wear a weave or a wig, however you wear your hair, please wear it confidently and boldly. And if you happen to not be black,
yes,
please stop. Just stop. Because my hair is not a part of your conversation.
100%. To be fair, too, I just want everybody to approach people in love. Did I approach my husband in love? Yes, I did. I wanted him to look good to the community, look good to his wife. You know, we wanted to do that. But, like, if you approach it a certain way, we can receive some of that or you know, do all the things. But at the end of the day, y'all, we are not our hair. This whole conversation, don't start singing.
I don't know if we can sing it, but I will say Miss India said it best.
Okay.
I am not my hair. I am not my skin. I am the soul that lives within. And I'm not your expectations. You understand? I like all that. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We will see you soon. Be sure to follow us on all of our platforms, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Music, Podcast, Amazon and Audible, and
YouTube. Subscribe.
And